I like that. The Wife of Bath's Tale. Back in the days of the Dark Ages, when King Arthur made his mark, and courageous knights with tight young pages embarked on outrageous quests and fought for ladies' hearts, the shady parts among the hills and knolls were filled with fairies, elves, and trolls, and dwarves were known to dwell in holes, and nymphs to succor willing souls. These thrilling folds in time emerged as badly out of line with churches, which cursed all fairy kind and purged us to cleanse us of our primal urges. To try and discourage us from growing tense, the hills were filled with holy men, and now women could lie alone, content without the old incubi. Only them. And so it went that from King Arthur's court, a strong young warrior marched his horse, and through the woods he charted his course, and he met a young girl in the heart of the forest. And with heartless force, in less than a minute, he committed an act of criminal obscenity. And since there was no one else in the vicinity, no one prevented him from taking her virginity. This sinister deed was so repugnant that the knight was thrown in the castle dungeon to await judgment. But what should be done with it? King Arthur favored capital punishment, a tactic of governments that live in fear. But the queen, Guinevere, whispered in his ear, "My lord, his remorse is not insincere. I suggest we let the poor kid live a year. In fact, give him here. Let me deal with him." And King Arthur granted her appeal, a decision that revealed he was a man of vision and real wisdom. That is, a husband able to still listen. And from his steel prison, the knight was brought to the queen, who said, "Boy, you're in a tight spot. Your guilt is certain, but your life is not. Your head might head right to the chopping block, or you might just walk and get clemency. But only if you can tell me what women need. Answer me what it is every woman's tendency to want, and I'll suspend sentencing. Now let your penance bring you some cheer. Come here again after 1 year, and then I want to hear from you some clear response. Now I suggest you run, dear." And Guinevere gave him his walking papers, and the knight thanked her and set off on this caper to save his life, and began to talk to his neighbors' wives and got them to list off their favorites like a census taker. He took to the streets and spent a year asking every woman he'd meet, "If you could have just one thing, what would it be?" But you wouldn't believe the diversity. They just couldn't agree. Once asked, some said this, and some said that. Okay. They said confidence, compliments, comfort, class, compassion, fashion, or for their passion to come back.
Of course.
And as the months passed, the knight realized that he would soon be deceased unless he arrived at a conclusion, and he badly needed to be advised, because with all this confusion, he could only theorize, and he wouldn't be alive to end the debate. And after 11 months and 26 days, he still wasn't sure what he intended to say as he headed back to the court to be handed his fate and what could stand in his way. On the road home, the knight ran into an ugly old crone, whose face was so wrinkled he thought it had no bones. And as he passed, she heard a low moan and asked, "So alone? Without any company? Something's eating you, boy. Anyone can see. But what could upset someone so young and sweet? It's gonna be okay, son. You can come to me if you need comforting." And the knight was so distressed that he lowered his defenses and took a load off his chest and wept and told the oldest woman he'd met the whole messy story of his hopeless quest and the approach of his death. And when she got the gist of his predicament, she said, "Promise me this. The next thing I ask for, you'll honestly give, and I'll tell you what the answer to your quandary is." "As long as I live," the knight frantically stressed, "I promise if I can, I'll grant your request." And with that, she laid the man's panic to rest.
Don't worry.
Taught him the bottom line, the way to answer best this standing question that had been on his mind. Like, how in God's name do you please womankind? The knight had spent a year listening blind to opinions and found all women differently inclined. But when his time was finally expired, again the knight stood in the line of fire before the court and queen in their fine attire. And he said, "Strike me dead if you think I'm a liar." Women desire to have sovereignty over their loves and to have their husbands be happy if wives live above them, free. Now, is there any woman here who doesn't agree?
What do you think? Do you agree? Do you? Maybe.
Nope.
And everyone could see that the knight had it right, and he didn't deserve to be sacrificed, and the queen was about to give him back his life, when at that precise moment, that old nasty wife, who just last night was so happy to save him, she stood up and smiled with the face of a raisin, and said, "He just recited the answer I gave him, now he owes me a favor and I'm ready for payment."
Okay.
And instead of evasion, the knight cheerfully agreed. Fair is fair. What kind of care do you need? And she turned to the queen and said, "Oh, he's very sweet. And I'll get all the care I need when he marries me."
What?
The knight stared in disbelief at the smiling face of this tiny old granny of at least 98, whose eyes kept climbing his thighs in a slimy way. And he realized there was no line of escape. Though he still tried to beg and barter and plead, and he offered the deed to his father's property
and sobbed, "Take whatever you want, please. Impoverish me, just let my body go free."
But it was obvious she needed no persuading. She said, "Oh baby, you know I'm an old lady, decades over 80. There's no way you can pay me enough. Now take me before I go crazy." And since there was no debating, the knight refused to get too upset for fear he might lose his head. And that very same night the I do's were said, and with the queen's blessing the two were wed, and went straight to their bed and began undressing. But when his manly flesh felt those wrinkled hands caressing, the knight decided he just couldn't stand the rest, and he cried, "I can't handle this, it's scandalous,
get off me."
And his wife grinned with lips like an empty cave and asked, "Is this how all men behave on their wedding day, when their lives have been saved by their wives and they've escaped knives with thin blades? Other knights have been brave when their freedom suspended, but I can see by your face that you believe I've offended you, though I never intended to. Perhaps it could be mended. Just tell me what I did and I'll try to amend it." "When this marriage is ended, then I think I'll be happy," said the knight, "'cause you're low-class, wrinkled, and nasty. Aww. The type that would do anything to entrap me." And she asked, "Do you really find these things distracting when we're interacting?" "Definitely," said the knight. "How else would you expect it to be?" And she said, "Then all I ask is that you listen to me, and we'll see if after you think differently.
Okay.
You've given me two reasons why you can't love me. You find me disgusting because I'm low class and ugly.
True.
Well, as for low class, you can't rashly judge me. Class is just something that holds us back, and nothing goes bad as fast as the souls of nobility, whose workloads leave them with gold but no ability to show compassion, cash but no humility. Besides, with the middle class and upward mobility, the only gentility left with any importance proceeds from a person's actions, not their fortunes, so no more ill-informed class distortions. And as for the fact that I'm not exactly gorgeous, perhaps you're just gonna have to be grateful that you're in a marriage that you're actually able to trust, because I pretty much have to be faithful. But if you'd rather have me attractive, just say so, because I can magically change to the shape of a blushing young maid with a face that's both graceful and lovely. But in that case, you'll never be able to trust me. Would you rather a sexy, disgracefully lusty, insatiable slut finding ways to annoy you, who raises up your jealous rage to a boil?
No.
Or would you rather have me this age and loyal? But the knight couldn't say which way would make this enjoyable and which way would spoil the mood, and he sighed. "You are truly wise, my toothless bride. I think you should choose between the two sides, and I'll make do with whatever you decide." And as soon as the knight let his wife get control of his life and truly decided to let go, the next moment she changed from a gray, decrepit old creature to a young lady with such incredible features, the knight was speechless and stood in a trance, more deeply enchanted each time he took in a glance. And his wife saw him standing as stiff as a wooden lance and said, "Few understand the union of woman and man. Common sense says we should be treated the same, but what's really needed to keep people sane is for men to treat women like queens with free domain. And as soon as you agreed to give me the reins, it allowed me to change and become graceful and beautiful and young and still remain faithful and dutiful, cause you'll never make me behave in an unsuitable way now that you understand the undisputable root of all happy relationships." And with that, she leaned forward and gave him a kiss. And the knight was bathed in a sense of weightlessness. And they lived out the rest of their days in bliss.